We're continuing in the Peleoyetz on page Membeis 42. In the middle paragraph, Yitzchak, you see inside? V'yechrad ha'ish melitein davar l'soich piv b'lay bracha. A person should shake at the very idea, the very thought of God forbid putting food in their mouth without saying a blessing. She'imu ha'goyzel ha'sat melech achas doser l'homis alachas kama v'cham ha'goyzel melech ma'achim lachim ha'goyzel baruch u'knesses Yisrael. Can you imagine such a person who is found to be stealing from the treasury of the king? Off with his head. Done. Finished.
Where are you
starting from? In Membeis, in the middle, the middle paragraph. Yechrad ha'ish. So for someone to steal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, achas kama v'chama. V'gam ha'moyel b'kodesh chayev misa. Someone also who steals from the holy, from the sanctified, is held accountable for death. V'har amru she'enen eb'lei bracha, hu ki yul moyel b'kodesh, ki ilu goyzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'nas Yisrael. V'har amru. Sh'amaychel v'amashke himozen ha'guf. Food and drink are mozen la'guf. They are the sustenance for the body. And the bracha, fascinatingly enough, I mean, the energy that's inside the food, the nutrients, the calories, all that give us the energy to be able to do what we need to do, that is the energy for the body. But the energy for the guf, is for the neshama, I apologize, is the bracha. That's interesting. You think, no, you think that once you have fed your body, it then allows you to enliven your soul. But no, the bracha is the mazon for the soul. You think even, I wouldn't even know that necessarily, because you would say, hey, the food that I'm eating, fine, that's what gives me the sustenance. The soul is not even in the discussion. The soul doesn't even need energy. But it's interesting. The bracha, which we think is just simply asking permission, is itself the energy that's required, the nefesh requires. You know, I'll explain to you in a second. I'll explain to you one second, because we say in the Zemiras on Shabbos, Soyedim boy shalosh pamim. Why do we eat three times? Levarchoy, in order to bench. It's a very fascinating thing. The Hasidim say that we don't have three meals and then bench. It's that we need to bench, so when we're melo, we have three meals. Because the idea is it's all about, you know, they say, do you live to eat or you eat to live? You familiar with such a concept? You've heard that line before? And the way that we're supposed to really look at the world is through the prospect, through the prism that we're a neshama. So the neshama is here to, we're only eating to live, right? Not you don't live to eat. It's only there for the etzem ta'elis, which is to grow, which is to shtag, which is to be able to be the neshama that we are. But what's the neshama really, real energy that it requires? The bracha itself. So what does the neshama need energy for? Constant relationship with Hashem. That's exactly the point.
So why can't they just learn Torah while I'm eating the food and also be part of the relationship?
Oh, that's a great question. Because as much as the learning is, of course, is food for the soul, but it doesn't need to be targeted. Kind of like targeted media. You can put out like one message somewhere, and then you just put it out there, and hopefully the people that you're trying to get will see it. Or no, you know, these are the people that I'm targeting. I'm targeting to the ages of 18 to 30. Boys instead of girls, people that are young professionals rather than people that are unemployed. You know exactly your media, the target audience that you have. So same thing also when it comes to the neshama, we're trying to target the specific thing. The neshama is about to, the body is about to eat. We want to make sure that the neshama is attached to an act of a holy level of eating. It doesn't need eat, it doesn't need food. But the blessing itself is what gives the energy to the neshama. Let's continue. Because when you make that bracha, it then imparts a tremendous amount of shefa, of holiness, upon that food and upon that drink. You know, it's a beautiful thing. The food becomes a higher entity. It becomes strength. It becomes risen up to a much higher dimension. You know, it's actually the scary reason why someone who steals and eats the food, it's not just a bracha, it's one of the worst affairs you could possibly do. One of the worst of errors. If I steal somebody's watch, I can give it back. If I break it down into parts, if I melt down the gold, if I sell off the different aspects, I can't give it back at that point. Food, by definition, I eat it. So what happens when I eat it? What does it get transformed into? It gets destroyed, which means I cannot ever return it. But even worse than that, the energy from that food, literally the calories, the nutrients, whatever comes from that, It goes directly into my actions. So now, let's say I do a mitzvah. Let's say I want to do tshuva. I ate food. I ate stolen food, and now I feel energized. But I have now a desire to do tshuva. The Sefer Kabbalah, they write this very extreme. They write this very strong, which is that now every mitzvah that I do is tainted by that gezel. Why? Because the energy that I just received from the non-kosher, of the non-kosher food, or could be the stolen food, then goes into the mitzvah that I did through the energy that was stolen through stolen means. So you don't even have a pure mitzvah afterwards. It's a very scary idea. Of course, there is still ability to tshuva. There's still opportunity to tshuva. There's still ability to turn around. But it does change the dimension of how you relate to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a different mitzvah than it could have been. It's a different mitzvah. You know, somebody who does an aveira and then go learns Torah, of course, it's the most amazing thing, the fact they're doing tshuva. But at the same time, it's the different level of Torah. It is a different level of Torah. And a person has to remember that before they do it. Before they do that aveira, before they, God forbid, enter into a bad situation. Why? Because the action they do afterwards is tainted. It could have been so much more pure. It could have been so much more kadosh v'nora. V'zeh kavanas ha-kasev. Ki lo yalechem levada yechi adam, ki yakol maitzah pi Hashem yechi adam. As it says in Dvarim, not upon bread alone does man live, instead rather upon everything that comes from God's mouth, everything that God utters. Which means to say, Hashem says, you do this, you'd be able to survive. That a tzaddik eats according to his own satiation. What is nafshoy? Nafshoy does not mean the body. Nafshoy means the soul, the blessing. It's the bracha that gives him the koyach. These foods, if it weren't for the fact that we could very easily say that a lot of these people just simply have got into a bad cycle, they just don't remember, they just have not developed the proper habits when to say and how to say brachos. Oh, this is very scary. They actually inherently should get a huge punishment. Because is it that big of a deal to stop for literally like 3 seconds? We're not even asking that you should say it like a baruch ato.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep going. Hashem.
Elokeinu.
Melech. Ha'olam. Shehakol. Just for Daniel, I'm doing this. Yeah, exactly that point. It doesn't. We're not asking you to say that. You could say bracha. But simply to say the bracha. Just simply say the bracha. Does it take that much? Does it take that much effort? And nonetheless, they don't do it. Dover hanoi gesel kol hediyot shemali piv tilosi v'yahalu al komin toivu shemekab mimenu. Right. V'noisav gamus shalakin barachim l'mitzvah yachshav lanu. Ma she'anu mevarchim moisav. V'kovei lanu schay la bracha toivu bracha. Hayesh cheich masik mizeh. Is there anything sweeter than this that a person would get themselves into this attitude? That a person would be able to mekayim. It's like no skin off your back. But vada mishen adorei to lavarich ein zekim b'ray life. Such a person who just like literally doesn't want to, it stems from a very negative place in their neshama. We spoke about this before. We'll speak about it again. Which is someone who doesn't have the ability to be moida, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say thank you Hashem. It stems from a very negative place. The lashon of hayda, of thanks, also comes the lashon of moide, to admit. And nobody likes to admit. Nobody likes to feel that they're dependents. Nobody likes to feel that they have what to then be thankful for, because that means that you owe something to somebody. Somebody says, what, me? What, Hashem? Baruch Hashem, that means you're healthy, but a lot of people are not healthy. Okay, there's a lot of people who are royal lev, who unfortunately have a very difficult time with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why do we need a bracha then? Why can't we just be like, thank you Hashem that I have water, thank you Hashem that I have oranges, thank you Hashem that I have apples?
So the Rambam tells us, he says this specifically regarding tefillah, but it applies also in terms of brachas. Brachas, they're abundant, except for Birkas HaMazon. Says the Rambam that before Chazal came along and gave us the text, the Nusach of davening, it used to be everybody would be like their own vibe. Like, you know, they just get up in the morning and be like, yo, bro, Hashem, yo, you bet. I mean, obviously, they would probably not say it in such intellectual and highbrow ways of saying it. But they would say, thank you, Hashem. And they would be able to mechaven the bracha, their bracha, their own personal bracha, very specifically. And we're talking about from a Kabbalistic standpoint, like to really hit the target in Shemayim. But ultimately, I'm sure you understand that that's not everybody. Or let's say, as the generations went along, people really lost touch with themselves and humanity, and with themselves and their inner koyach, their inner neshama. So the Rambam writes that that's why Chazal Baruch Hu, that's why Chazal apologized, but Esther, you know, Esther Chachamim, but that Chazal came along and standardized the text. So you're right. Technically, the most beautiful thing would probably be that we could reach such a level, but we're not at that level. And anybody who thinks that they're at that level it's a kash on them. Because they're not at that level. To really understand...
Brachas are part of that same thing?
What?
Brachas
also, yes. Brachas before. Even before. I mean, the idea, the concept of saying a bracha is a totally not a foreign idea. People would say brachas all the time. But it was more that they were able to finally attune how they said it in a proper way.
So So going on Rabbi Singh, shouldn't we have different bracha? Even though we have things that go from the tree and things that grow, we should each thing should have its own bracha.
Right, there is a discussion about why specifically about other, most other hanois we don't have a bracha. It's a good question. It's a good question. But this is what Chazal was kaveh. Chazal's kaveh the general categories. Yes.
So it's nice. Too much of a tirka. If we gave a beracha for everything, showers, put on your shoes and everything.
It would be intense. Also, there's a discussion that has to be hanos haguf as opposed to putting on your shoes is not necessarily hanos haguf. And secondly,
why should I make the same bracha on an orange and an apple? They have different properties.
It's a good question. The way I'll put it like this: if a person is like being able to say birchas hashachar, like to the level and to the degree that you're mamish mechadim shem shemayim, then we can start discussing about which new brachas we could add. But in the meantime, let's work on the brachas that we have. Yes, Mary, you have a question.
Then what's the idea in the lashon rabim in the Shmona Esrei? Like it's all
as opposed to being singular.
Yeah.
Why? I would say like this: why should it be singular? Why should it be in the singular?
Why should it be in the singular?
Yeah.
It would be like a person asking for his own stuff.
Right. Right. And what's the answer?
Not selfish people.
There you go. It's highly, I'm not calling you this, but it's highly narcissistic to think that your needs are somehow in a vacuum.
No, but I was asking independently.
I'm going to answer your question. The needs of Klal Yisrael are your needs, and your needs are Klal Yisrael's needs. I mean, we're all one body. Klal Yisrael is one soul, one body, and of course, you know, actually, Api Halacha, you're not allowed to actually add in a consistent kavua prayer in your tefillah that is personalized, unless it has also Lashon Rabbim in it as well. Did you know that? It needs to be something which is included in the whole Am Yisrael. We're one party, we're one nation.
No, at the end of Shmona Esrei, where you say...
You can't be... At the end of Shmona Esrei, you already said Yehil Ratzon, that's not a problem. I'm saying in the middle of the tefillah, the middle of the davening, to be kaveya, a separate tefillah that is personalized. It can't be. Well, agreed, yeah, 100%. 100%. You're allowed to add in a tefillah generally, as long as it's not kavua, as long as it's not consistent. But for sure, it's something which is only specifically yachid as opposed to rabbim, it's very, very problematic. It needs to be that it's in the general klal of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here, Mr. Hashem, today.